This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 15, 2023, the 19th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's like the third or fourth week in a row when we have had parables of our Lord for the gospel. Look at the continuity of the parables. It speaks of all the different aspects of our life of faith. This particular parable speaks of the final judgment. Judgment is something that a lot of folks don't like to present anymore. But we can never escape the fact that it is one of the four last things. The four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. It's kind of interesting that 60 or so years ago, six-year-old first communicants knew what the four last things were, because they are of that much importance. Because what are we doing here? We are trying to escape final judgment. But, oh no, that's too fire and brimstone-y. The whole scriptures are fire and brimstone-y. The whole scriptures are a warning to us that we need to prepare before the final judgment. He goes out of his way to warn us about the final judgment. The final judgment is the kingdom of God. That's how we enter into the kingdom of God. And he says this parable, he speaks of that kingdom. But again, to keep this thought in the forefront of our mind, that when things happen in this world, they are heads up that the final judgment is coming. Our current events, people send me stuff and I read certain things like that. You can't almost escape, even on news, Armageddon has started. Maybe not. But if it has, you better be ready. If it hasn't, you better be ready, because it's going to come someday. Our Lord always wants us to make our faith real. He just doesn't want us to have scary stories about something that might happen in the future if you're not a good boy or girl. That's not it at all. No, these things are going to happen. And here I'm going to give you little warnings throughout your life that this stuff is real. Every time we get sick, I mean, for the most minor thing to the huge things. Well, why do people get sick? Very philosophical. Why do they get sick? Well, there's all kinds of reasons why you might get sick. But one of the reasons is absolutely God warning you about your mortality. You had no control over when you get sick or how you get sick or what illness it is. No control whatsoever. There are some illnesses over which you have no control. It's just going to progress until it kills you. So every time we get sick in this world, that's a part of it. It's a little bit of a warning. Look, you're a mortal person. You fall down and hurt yourself. Your mortality. You can break things. It's just a lesson. Death. Again, very philosophical. Oh, why do people die? Why? Again, all kinds of reasons why people die. But at the end of the day, whether it's a person close to you or maybe just an acquaintance, maybe a family member of acquaintance, every time somebody dies and you hear about it, it should be a little lesson in the fact that someday it's going to be you. Every time you go to a funeral and you listen to the prayers in that funeral, you should be, someday this is going to be me. It's not a matter of if that will ever happen. It is truly a matter of when. So it's a warning. So we look at the news stories about the bad things that are happening in this world. It's just another warning. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're going to have wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. These things must needs come to pass, but be ready, because they are all pointing forward to when I come back, the final judgment. That's what this is about. It's the gospel's a warning. The gospel is a warning. St. John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to have a heads up. You know, and it's really sad that in a lot of churches, none of this stuff's ever mentioned. It's really sad that the vast majority of modernist Catholics couldn't tell you the four last things if you held a gun to their head. It's important to know because that's what we prepare for. Those four last things, one of which is judgment. And this is what this whole parable is about here. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's a king who's inviting everyone to the marriage supper, right? Who's the king? If this parable is the kingdom of heaven is like, who's the king? God. And it's not that he made a wedding feast or, you know, just any kind of feast that he invited people to. He made a marriage for his son. So if the parable is about the kingdom of heaven and the king, God, has made a feast for his son, who's God's son? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The invitation to all is to embrace the invitation to embrace the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. That's the message. God gives this invitation to everybody. That's why he's up in your face with some things. If you get sick, that's you. And maybe the people in your family know you're sick. If someone dies, again, that's you. And the people who knew that particular person. But when you see wars and things like that, that's up in everyone's face. Everyone's. So we need to approach this as understanding that God invites everybody. You know, he sends his servants. God is the king, his son's feast. His servants are his ministers, whom he appoints and consecrates to tell people about the invitation. This invitation goes out to everyone. God is no respecter of persons. He even says that they weren't worthy. And in this particular case, he's talking about the ethnic Jewish people who rejected the Messiah. They're unworthy. Go and invite everybody else, both bad and good, they bring. This is why our Lord, you know, one of the parables, we heard, when our Lord said, harlots and publicans will get into the kingdom of heaven before you. The invitation is for religious leaders like the Pharisees. It's for just Joe Schmo, normal person. And it's also for publicans and harlots. It's for everybody. But just like any other invitation on the face of this planet, you have to conform to what the invitation is. A lot of invitations are very, very specific. You're invited to this. The dress is formal. You're invited to this. The dress is semi-formal, business casual. Come as you are. But it'll say that on the invitation when you get this formal invitation. This is a formal invitation. The gospel is a formal invitation. And there's all kind of caveats as to what you need to do to accept that invitation. And we see that in this parable. Because the king gets cranky when you don't conform to the invitation. Our Lord is presenting this parable, and he gives us two categories of people that deal with the invitation. Not one of those categories is people who accept it and do what they're supposed to do. The two categories he speaks about are, one, indifferent people, those people who go to their farm or go to their business. Now, what is that all about? It's about temporal considerations. My temporal considerations are more important than the wedding feast of the Lamb. So they just ignore it. They're indifferent to it. The other group, they're actually hostile to it. You know, and I talk with people around here all the time, and I understand that most of us, notice I say us, deal with family members or friends who are at best indifferent to the gospel, or at worst, they're hostile toward it. They're hostile toward the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, bad mouth, if there was a God, he did, and all that other nonsense, like that's hostility. Those are the two categories that our Lord presents to us, not the people who buy into the invitation. This is where we start getting into that many are called, but few are chosen. Like I said, there is consequence with the king. He doesn't stand by idly and go, oh, well, they didn't accept my invitation. What does he do? When the king had heard of it, they're blowing off his invitation, he was angry, and he sent his armies, and he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. That's not like churchy language, just, well, God's kind of a little upset about things. Stuff's real. It's absolutely real. When our Lord Jesus Christ said this to those Jews, when he was speaking with them, they rejected him. They had him crucified. Crucified. We have no king but Caesar. Well, guess what? God used Caesar's armies as his. And within one generation, 70 AD, those armies marched into Jerusalem and they leveled the place. They leveled the temple. It doesn't exist today. That's how real it is for them. Well, man, that's a good history lesson to how God can get cranky. Look over there right now. The same exact area, the same exact nonsense. Why? Because people are being unfaithful to our Lord. Oh, yeah, I like both groups. They're monotheists. They're children of Abraham. They're cutting each other's heads off. Neither one of them has embraced the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So being a monotheist means nothing, obviously. God's chastisement's on them. So he did it in 70 AD. He's doing it again right now. If he tarries, he'll be doing it another 100 or so years because he wants everybody to have a head. This stuff is real, folks. That's the communication. This stuff is real. And you got to approach it as real. And if you don't, there are going to be dire consequences. Because one day, it's not going to be a war somewhere, even a huge one. It's not going to be a war. It's truly going to be Jesus Christ coming back. I love when people say, oh, Jesus, I'm just praying for Jesus to come back. Well, you don't want to be anywhere around when he does. Because that's like the ultimate, it's actually described in great detail. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, about when the Lord comes back. There are people, I want to be around and see Jesus come back. Holy Spirit speaking today, so St. Paul said, an example of the just judgment of God, seeing that it is a just thing with God to repay tribulation to them that trouble you, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with angels in his power in the flame of fire, giving vengeance to them who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't stop with a period after that don't know God. It's, and also those who do not accept the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that invitation. That's a caveat of the invitation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not some other prophet that's going to come along. Not, hey, I'm going to approach God on my own terms like the Protestants do. None of that nonsense. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he's presented it to us, this is the reality of the invitation. And if you haven't fulfilled the dress code, so to speak, of the invitation, we've seen what he's done in history. We've seen what he's doing now. We have a heads-up warning as what is going to come in the future. Very fire and brimstone-y, right? Oh, we don't like to hear stuff like that. It's scary, right? Yes. That's how you teach people things. We do that in our own lives. I mean, that's what the world's about. You do scare people occasionally. You're a parent, and most people have been around parents with kids, even if you don't have kids your own, but if you have kids your own. Oh, honey, don't go out into the street because you might tie up traffic. No, if you go out in the street, you're going to get smashed by a car and you'll die. Yeah. Okay, and if they don't listen, what do? You swat them on the tail to make them listen. Negative consequences. And they learn. Little Johnny, don't put the fork in the light socket. They're not good for you. All right? And if he does it, you swat him. Negative, that we do that. Oh, that's children. Yeah? Well, drive down I-4. You see those speed limit signs? Guess what? Those are warnings. And if you don't abide by the warnings, bad stuff can happen to you. That's just a reality. That's how we work. I'd love to drive 100 miles an hour down I-4 and get home early. But I don't want to spend $300 or $400 to do it. Okay, so I'll chill. We get warnings of negative consequences. That keeps us right. That's what the scriptures are. This is what the scriptures are. Scary, yes, but it's correction. It's because our Lord loves us, just like parents love their kids, and they'll spank them if they walk out in the street in front of a car, or if they keep putting the knife in the life socket. And that's it. It's on us. Our Lord gives us warnings, but then it's on us to abide by the warnings, to take note of the warnings. Our Lord presents things to us, and the invitation, you know, with the dress code on it, and He doesn't just let it go if you don't follow it. You know, that whole last part of the guy. And He went in to check the guests, and He saw one without the wedding garment. What is that wedding garment? Yeah, in a subjective and in an ethereal way, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood that He shed for us, that we poured on us in our baptism. Even in the baptismal rite, the traditional rite, there you clothe the child with a white garment. Receive this white garment, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, you may be found, in a nutshell, wearing it. God expects that. And when He doesn't see it, there's problems. There's a dress code, so to speak. I got to go down this trail just a little bit. This is that. Does this not pull the rug right out from under that nonsense, this trash that you hear from so many churches? Right, come as you are. This dude came as he was, and what happened? Oh, God doesn't care. He just blows that stuff right off. Not obviously. Not if you take this serious. It does do it. I'm going to wear my cutoffs in my tank top to mass. Loser. Why? Because it's an outward disposition of what we say we believe. We're proving it. What are you bringing to the table here? Do you care about what you got? That you're in the presence of Almighty God. I never got this one. People deck themselves out ridiculously at weddings. They'll come to Mass on Sunday, and you can come as you are. How come they don't come as they are at weddings? Where's the priority? Well, that's so-and-so's wedding. They're blowing off the fact that you're in the presence of Almighty God. Okay, that's why we do it when we come to Mass, right? Why do we kneel down when we pray? Or should? Kneel down when we pray. Because that is an outward posture of what our inward disposition should be. Supplication, begging God to hear what we're praying. Why do we stand for the gospel? Because it's an outward disposition of our outward presentation of our inward disposition of being attentive to this very important thing that's being presented to us, the invitation. A lot of people aren't paying attention to the invitation. But this is why we do the things we do, because God expects proof. I don't have to prove anything to God. I love that one. Google proof in the Bible and look at all the times when God says you got to prove to Him. He demands proof. He demands proof of your faith. He wants to see what you bring to the table. He wants to see if you really live that. What's going on here? Hey, you're not living this. I'm not seeing it. Oh, my inward disposition, King. Bind him hand and foot. You know, in the way the King approaches him too, it should tell us about the love of God towards. The invitation, as I said, goes out to everybody. Even this guy that has come in without a wedding garment, the King's like, hey, loser, like I said before, hey, what's up with not having a wedding garment on? What's the first word out of the King's mouth? Friend, how did you get in here not wearing a wedding garment? And I love the excuses. Oh, because I'm coming as I am, and I knew you would be okay with it. And now, he doesn't say a word. Why? He's condemned himself. The wedding invitation said this, and you came like that. There is no excuse. We love excuses. We love justifying stuff. I mean, if you're on I-4 and you drive 100 miles an hour and you get the ticket, you're going to go to court, tell the hearing officer all the different things, all the reasons, you had to do this, you had to do that, you know, everybody else was doing it. All those excuses, all those justifications, and he's going to go, yeah, whatever. You're going to have no excuse at the judgment seat. You're not going to say a word because everything's going to be right there. Everything. and we're going to know it. We're going to have a word to say about it. And it's going to, the condemnation that we bring on ourselves is so total. That's why he adds that little extra about bind him hand and foot. You're not going to resist this in any way. Not even trying to resist it, but you're not going to be able to. Because why? Many are called, but few are chosen. This isn't just one guy amongst them. He is a category of people. This is the reality of our faith. This is what we need to be prepared for. When you're watching the news and you're watching all this horrible stuff going on, it's going to get a lot worse. All right? Because that's what this says. No matter how bad it is right now, it's going to get a lot worse. And we need to be ready for that. Not just dealing with it in this world, but specifically dealing with it in the next. We need to be properly clothed when we, as the invitation tells us. There is nowhere in this book, not one place, where it says, come as you are. Nowhere. As a matter of fact, the exact opposite. Old and New Testament. You're supposed to bring forth your best when you come here. Because you're in the presence of God. This God who wills that all should be saved. And he warns everyone about it. But he also respects absolutely the free will that we have, and with which he has created us. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.